Welcome to the Connection Point Podcast through the ministry of First Southern Baptist Church, Salina, Kansas, where we aim to connect you to God, to others, and to the church.
Hey guys.
How's it going?
Was that better?
Yeah. So I was thinking of fun ways to start off because it was a disaster last time, and I like came up with a little theme song on the way.
You got a theme song?
Yeah, you want to hear it?
I do. Our listeners want to hear that, man. You kidding
right.
me?
All right, listeners, you ready?
Yeah.
So do you have theology that's bad? Well, come on over and listen to Tyler and Brad. Tyler and Brad.
Yes, that is perfect. That's our new theme song. So if anybody has like editing talents, that needs to be our jingle before we get on.
When we get the legit software
package.
Yeah, package and software and stuff, I will absolutely write us a real theme song.
That's what we're missing, man. That's good. So if you don't want theology that's bad,
come and listen to Tyler and Brad.
That's good, man.
Tyler and Brad.
Yeah. How long did that take you?
I thought about it on the way driving over here. So
that was quick, man. Yeah. Way to go. You hear that, listeners? If you want good theology, ones that are not bad, come on over and listen to Tyler and Brad.
Yes.
That's awesome, man. And it's probably good to use your name second. Brad's a lot easier to rhyme with than Tyler. I don't know what you would do with Tyler.
Yeah.
Weiner.
Would Tyler. You like a watch that is a Siler? Maybe you can come and ask Tyler.
Hey. Yeah.
Not as relevant to our podcast.
But. Yeah, we'll stick to that one.
Yeah.
Man, that is good. Way to go, man. Well, I'm excited about that. TBD, theme jingle coming your way.
Yes.
TBD. So it's only been a week since we did our last podcast.
Yes.
But
which works because we're going to segue right in to this one today. So
we're going to segue right in. It fits well with where we were at. So.
Yes.
But here, it's good. It's cold outside. He's got our coffees. He's got his water. He doesn't drink coffee, but he's got a water.
I don't. I am the only doctor that went through medical school and residency in the entire world that did not drink coffee, I think so.
Did you live on energy drinks?
No, I was just tired.
Just tired of
Yeah, I mean, I was. That's really what it was.
So. Oh, man. Hey, you got through, man. That's awesome. Yeah. And I tell you guys, I'm drinking coffee. It's... You know, I drink creamer with a little bit of coffee in it, but I'm getting better.
I do not put creamer in my water.
Yeah, you just drink water straight?
Yep.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Rebel, that's crazy.
My black water.
You probably shouldn't be drinking that if you got black water. Oh, man. Well,
yeah,
it's good to be with you guys.
We better get going because we've got a lot to talk about tonight.
We do. So we have a good one for you.
We're excited about this.
Last week, we talked about Revelation.
Yes.
Actually, we're talking about the book of Revelation, and if you've ever heard the term eschatology, you know that's the doctrine of the end times.
Yeah, study of the end times.
Study of the end times. Yeah. So if we use that tonight, that's kind of what we're...
Yeah, I like the joke. I heard a joke one time. I think it was it's a Twitter account called Church Curmudgeon. So funny, but the joke was, I got eschatology and scatology mixed up, and now I'm not allowed to teach Sunday school anymore. For those of you listeners that don't know, scatology is the study of poop. So do not mix up scatology and eschatology.
Thank you. That's helpful.
You will not be allowed to teach Sunday school anymore if you mix them up.
You're going to get a lot of weird looks, and then you're not going to be able to teach anymore.
Yes.
Yeah, that's good. So, that's good that you let me know about that.
Exactly.
To learn from those things and not repeat them.
Could have got into some sticky situations.
And really some bad situations. Yes, absolutely. All right. Well, now we're getting in. So, Brad, we left with Revelation, right? The book of Revelation. If you aren't familiar and haven't listened, we didn't give you all the answers because we don't have all the answers, but presented mainly four main views of eschatology.
Yeah, there's a lot more to go into Revelation.
If you want more, come visit us at 9 a.m. on Sunday mornings. Dr. Irvin teaches a Revelation class, so.
Yep, we're slogging through
You're
it.
Slogging through chapter 11.
Yes. I thought we were going to get through all of chapter 11 in one time, and we got through like a fourth of it.
Amen.
But it was good. We had a really good discussion, so I hope the people that are in the class will tell you that it is good and helpful.
I hear great things about it, man. So if I could, I'd be in too, but just tied up with other
I imagine you being busy on a Sunday morning.
I know, right? The audacity.
I see where I stand, Tyler. It's fine.
Any questions? Just go to the boss man.
Yes,
I just do what I'm told. Got a great boss, by the way.
Yes,
Pastor Greg. So, yep. Anyways, our word today is dominion.
Yes.
Explain why our word is dominion.
So when we were originally kind of planning this out, we actually started with the titles because we wanted mm-hmm. to talk about Revelation. First of all, and we're like, oh well, people are going to think it's the other Revelation,
right? Right.
And so we're like, okay, well, no, let's do that, and then we can do that title joke.
Right.
We were very proud of our two Revelation titles.
Yeah, look at them. Like, go back to our podcast main page and see the titles.
I still read them, and I chuckle to myself.
We chuckle.
We're so funny.
We're so funny.
But then after that, we were talking about where we would go from there, and so one of the eschatological mindsets. It's called postmillennialism. Mm-hmm. And I've kind of talked to my class. We talked a little bit about what that is. So it's the without going all the way back into the Revelation stuff.
You can listen to our last one if you haven't to catch up.
There's three different ideas. You go off of chapter 20 in Revelation that talks about the millennium.
Yep.
And there's three main views of the millennium.
Which is the reign of Christ.
Yes. That everyone kind of puts at the end of history.
Right.
And your three views are going to be premillennial, postmillennial, and amillennial. Mm-hmm. And they're set up for the pre and the post, and the A describes when Christ returns mm-hmm. In relation to the millennium. So your premillennials believe that Christ returns and then the millennium starts.
Right.
Your postmillennials believe that the millennium happens and then Christ returns at the end of it. Mm-hmm. Your amillennials believe that the church age is the millennium,
right?
And so they're actually kind of similar to postmillennials in that that mindset.
Yeah.
But they don't say that the millennium is going to be this set period mm-hmm. inside the church age.
Right.
But anyways, and I've kind of talked about this with my class. The postmillennial mindset. I would not call myself a postmillennialist mm-hmm. At this point. Mm-hmm. I really like their mindset.
Right.
So postmillennials believe that they are charged with taking dominion of the earth. And you may have some up and downs along the way, mm-hmm. but that the world is going to get better and better and better. And you do that by Christians doing their work
Change
and taking
the
back the world for Christ.
That's a great
Yes.
mindset.
Yes.
Absolutely.
I think that is the correct mindset, even if I would take issue
sure.
with some of the points of their mm-hmm. theology
sure.
and
right.
how they would stand
right.
stand that. But and so we talked about that a little bit the last time. Of I really like your quote. What was your quote about the building tables?
Yeah. So when we talked Revelation, we shouldn't be building bigger bomb shelters. We should be building bigger tables.
I quoted you in my Sunday school class.
Oh, nice, man.
Yes.
Now, you told him that wasn't an original, right?
Yes, I told him it was all you.
It was
all Tyler.
But it's not an original.
It's not yours?
It's not an original. I found it.
Oh.
But we can correct that later.
Okay.
I'll take
it. I'll tell him on Sunday. So.
Yeah, but it's still good. I mean, it's one I wish it was original, but it's good.
It sounded smart, like you said it, so I...
Yeah. I saw it on Facebook once.
Okay.
But it's still good, man. Yeah. But yeah, so instead of hunkering down in a bomb shelter, getting as many people to the table, you know, which we would say is everlasting fellowship and communion with Christ.
Yeah.
So.
And when it comes down to it, and so we talked about this in Revelation class too, that there's some people that are just like, I don't get Revelation. It's too complicated.
Yeah.
Like, why would I even bother with this? And so, you know, one of the things we talked about is, okay, what are the big things you need to take?
Mm-hmm.
And why is it important?
Mm-hmm.
And so this word dominion, I think, is one of the most important reasons that you should have a strong eschatology.
Absolutely.
And you should know what you believe about it.
Right.
Because what you believe about eschatology will influence how you live your life.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're gonna kind of walk you through the Bible all the way from beginning to end here,
mm-hmm.
talking about this word dominion, mm-hmm. because this is a reoccurring charge to human beings
right.
from God all the way through.
And it takes on different forms throughout history.
Yes.
But the message remains the same. So how would you describe dominion? So we say dominion, and maybe we want to start with Adam.
Yeah.
If someone said, okay, what do you mean by dominion?
Yeah, I would say taking charge or taking control over.
Mm-hmm.
Uh, If you have dominion, you are the ruler and in charge of that area. If you take dominion, that means you are taking it back from something else.
Yeah, that's good.
And so you see this, so we start in Genesis, we'll start in Genesis 1, 26 to 28, mm-hmm. if you're following at home, listeners. And so this is where God is giving the first charge to Adam. This is what Adam was made for and what his job is on the earth. We were talking about this before. Do you have it there?
I do. I'm going to read the 84 NIV, but I think the ESV had a better word that we can use.
Yes.
But let me just read that this is, so Adam's been created, and here's his purpose for that, right?
Yes.
So then God said, Genesis 1, 30 and 26, then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish in the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and every living creature that moves on the ground.
Yeah, and instead of fill the earth, I think yep. the ESV says
It says dominion. Fill the earth. And take dominion. So and the NIV okay. says subdue it.
Yeah.
ESV says
take dominion.
Take dominion.
Yeah.
Right.
And so it's the same idea. Yeah. I like the word dominion.
Yeah.
Better.
Yeah. Well, plus it fits with what our word is.
Yeah. one thing to talk about. We kind of discussed beforehand mm-hmm. Where it says give him. And then it also says them right away.
It uses
so we talked
him
about
and them. Yes.
Who is this charge being given to.
Right.
I think where it has that him and that them. Mm-hmm. And when they talk about man, I would say that Eve is being included in this.
Sure.
So when it talks about the things that man has dominion over, mm-hmm. Eve is not included in that. So when it's talking about man, it's talking about the human race here. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, there'll be another podcast to talk about, you know, how, the family is set up and you have the structure that God has given right.
You see that in Ephesians 5.
Right.
That's great.
Yeah, that'll be, that's a rabbit trail.
No rabbit trails today.
I promised him no rabbit trail. So, but yeah, that would be a good one to talk about later. But just a point of note here that this charge is being given to men and women, yeah. I would say. And mm-hmm. you can see that from the him and the them in
sure.
this. Right. And also with Eve not being included in the list of things that Adam is being, or that man is being given dominion mm-hmm. over.
Right. And like I said, we'll talk about this later, but in nowhere is man called to dominate over women.
Right.
You know, and which kind of gets us to what the effects of the fall.
Right.
Which is the next thing that happens after this
yeah.
this charge for Adam and Eve to take dominion over the world.
Yes. So, you know, Adam and Eve are given this charge to, they're in charge of the animals. They're supposed to tend the garden and they're supposed to subdue the world. Mm-hmm. And they fail, they fall, they disobey God, mm-hmm. and you look at the curses that come to them.
Yep.
So to Eve, her desire now is going to be to take dominion over her husband.
Right, it's a flawed dominion, desire for dominion, yes.
Yeah, and it's, because it says your desire will be for your husband.
Right, it says your desire will be for your husband, yeah. and he will rule over you.
Yeah, and so what that's talking about, that's not talking about like good desire or,
right.
or sexual desire or anything.
Right.
The other place they use that word is sin is crouching at the door. Mm-hmm. Its desire is to, when its desire is for you. Mm-hmm. And so it's this idea to subdue and dominate.
Yeah.
And so that's one how Eve is mainly affected by
yep.
the fall.
And the world almost takes dominion from Adam too. So
yeah.
where the fruit of his labor is we've talked about the. That before the fall, his work yielded beautiful things.
Yeah.
You know, no weeds, no thorns and all that. And after the fall, as he's trying to subdue the world is fighting back. It's got, you know, it's, I was asking you earlier, the command to have dominion doesn't change after the fall.
No.
It's still the same. But
how
would you describe, what is the damage done to this dominion call at the fall?
Adam's no longer able to complete this job he's been given.
Mm-hmm.
He's flawed and in a fatal way. The earth is and creation is cursed because of him.
Yeah.
And so I don't know if you know this about me, Tyler. I am not a woman.
Hold up. Just kidding, man. Yeah, I know you're not a woman,
yes.
man. You're good.
I do. I have never experienced, firsthand the curse that as women would experience it.
Sure.
For the man's curse, where it talks about like that his work is going to be more difficult mm-hmm. and futile. I think that every man can understand this a little bit. The idea of like, oh, I have to get up and yeah. go to work every day, mm-hmm. Until I die.
Right.
And that if I don't, the world will, this feeling of like, well, I'm constantly holding, I've got my finger in the dike, and if I take it out, it's possible that this will just overwhelm me. And
sure.
so it's a constant struggle and fight.
It's a grind, man.
And you know that no matter how well you do your job, eventually it's going to overwhelm you. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's that curse is not just something that, we read about in Genesis and doesn't affect us.
Right.
think every man feels the weight of that curse, and I think every woman still feels the weight
sure.
of hers.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think that's very accurate.
Like we talked about, I think that is, we're not able to take dominion of the earth because of the fall mm-hmm. at that point.
Yep.
But God's got a plan.
Oh, man. And very clear here. We talked about God's providence and sovereignty. This plan that we're going to see is not an audible from God because of the fall. This has been laid out from the beginning of time through his providence and sovereignty. This is how it was going to be accomplished. It's not like Adam and Eve threw him off guard and he's like, okay, now I've got to set a plan in motion. This has been there from the beginning.
Right. And so you see this as you start to go through the Bible and the commands that God gives to his people.
Yep.
So the next place we have on our little trail we wrote on the whiteboard here is we go to the Abrahamic covenant when he's talking with Abraham.
Right. So we started with Adam. Now we've moved on to Abraham.
Yeah.
Which is Genesis, if I'm correct.
15, I think is what you have written up there.
Oh, yeah. We got it
yes.
up there. That's why we have notes, my friend.
Yeah.
on the big whiteboard in front of us.
Yes.
Genesis 15.
And so Abraham is given a similar charge to mm-hmm. Adam where he's given this charge that he's going to take dominion.
Yep.
So he's going to become the father of many nations.
Mm-hmm.
So by what we know will end up being, not just procreation for him and like his physical descendants, but mm-hmm. also through adoption as the wild olive branch of the Gentiles is grafted into his family tree later on,
mm-hmm.
That he's going to take dominion over the whole earth mm-hmm. Eventually through this line.
Yep.
And then you have the second one is he's given land promises.
Yep.
God says you're gonna I'm gonna promise this land to you and your descendants are going to go and take dominion over
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. Yes, that's where Israel takes over Canaan and
yeah.
all those.
Yeah, and we thought about putting the Mosaic covenant in this line, but the Abrahamic kind of bleeds over into the Mosaic here.
Right.
The Mosaic is kind of as they go in to take dominion of Canaan and then how
they're supposed to conduct themselves.
Yeah, how that dominion is to be conducted.
Right, yeah.
But you have this charge where Abraham is, God's promising him the world again,
yep.
the same way he did Adam.
Mm-hmm. So we see, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Abraham, just like Adam, kind of fails along
sure.
the way. So when he's
my wife's my sister.
Yeah, exactly. You read my mind. You're right where I was going.
Yeah, sorry, man. That wasn't the right one.
Same with Sarah. Doesn't trust the promises of God. Here, take my handmaiden.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so, again, you kind of see this. Well, these are imperfect men that are failing. But God is still using them, and God's plan is still proceeding.
It's almost like humans aren't the perfect answer as we move on. But what we see, so Genesis 1, it's very localized, Abrahamic, it's expanding. Land, with land promises, we're starting to expand here
yeah.
as dominion is kind of gain back.
Yeah. So I guess I don't know that I would say the Adamic covenant is localized. I mean, it's kind of specific to the garden. They say
right.
he wants them to tend it, but he also gives them dominion over the whole earth.
Absolutely. Yes.
And then that breaks. And so I would say with Abraham is when it starts to
expand.
So it starts off small. So it's like it starts with one man that is being given this
Father
charge.
Many nations.
Yep, and then as it starts growing out from
sure.
Abraham, that's how God is going to eventually have Jesus take dominion
right.
over the world this way.
You need a lot of people to get that going.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Yep. So you've got Abraham, you've got Isaac, you've got Jacob. Mm-hmm. Then you start to have the tribes of Israel.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Eventually, the Israelites do take They take the land that was promised to Abraham. They take dominion over that.
They make it a lot harder than it needed to be, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. 40 years harder.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And that's kind of interesting. I don't want to throw a curveball in this all this, but mm-hmm. we know in Numbers that the original generations aren't the ones that inherited the promised land.
Right.
It's a whole new generation.
Yeah.
You know that takes the promised land. I don't know, just kind of a thought that came to my mind as we're talking yeah. about dominion going over through.
Yeah, but. And I think that reflects, so, you know, all the way through the Old Testament, you kind of have this repeat of God gives this charge of take dominion, and man continually fails.
Just fails, yeah.
Adam fails, mm-hmm. you know, Abraham fails, and Sarah fails in that time, just the yeah. same way Adam and Eve did. You know, Moses failed. He didn't get to go into the promised
Poor
land.
Poor guy.
So we get to, next we get to the Davidic covenant,
uh-huh.
Where God gives David this promise that, hey, your line is going to have an eternal kingship,
mm-hmm.
A reign that will never end.
Uh-huh, yep.
And David fails. David fails royally. Like,
right.
I will tell you, it is one of the most comforting things in the whole Bible to me, that God calls David a man after his own heart.
Huge comfort, absolutely.
Because David had some rough spots, and to say the least.
He made his iniquities count.
Yeah.
absolutely.
David was not a man for half measures.
Right.
any way you look at it.
And it's interesting, too, that he failed so miserably that he would not be the one to build the temple. It would be his son,
yeah.
Solomon. And Solomon fails in a million ways, too.
Yeah.
So you get a general pattern. So
yeah.
I guess I don't want to jump ahead, but so we're given in the Davidic covenant here a promise of an eternal kingship.
Yeah.
Humans just keep failing.
Yeah.
And
you see it, you have a leader, and the leader's people fall with them. So you,
right.
Adam is the leader, all creation falls with mm-hmm. him. Abraham's the leader. Sarah falls with him.
Yeah.
You have the failure with Hagar, mm-hmm. and then with Ishmael.
Mm-hmm.
David's the leader of Israel. He fails, and you see this as you go on with the kings of Israel.
Oh man, I mean, all the way to their exile.
Yeah,
and
yeah
all
when that, the yeah. kings of Israel fail, Israel fails
yep,
with them.
Absolutely.
Until eventually, I mean, Israel's the land is taken away from them, and the temple is taken away from them.
So is that a big loss in the dominion narrative? Or is it just a pause? Like, you know, because they eventually come back. You know, everything's restored. So
yeah, I wouldn't say it's a loss. I would say that this is kind of it's kind of emphasizing that man is not going to be able to do this.
We need
by
a better
themselves.
Answer, right?
Yeah. yeah. We yeah. Adam from the beginning was flawed, and that flaw continues to be carried on through Abraham, through Moses, through David. Yeah. So what do we do? God gives us a new and better Adam.
Mm.
What's that song that you sing on?
Yeah, that's a great one. Come behold the wondrous mystery.
Yes.
See the true and better Adam come to save the hell-born man.
Yeah, the hell-born man, yeah.
Hell-born, yeah, not hell-born.
Yeah, hell-born.
Wait
a minute.
Please tell me I haven't been singing it that way, right?
I don't think so. listeners, if you've been in church and you have heard Tyler singing hell-born man, come make fun of him.
I get in his zone, man, and then I don't remember. Hell, come to save the hell-bound man. Thanks for that.
Yes.
Yes.
I love that phrase.
Yep.
Because there's just, where is it? It talks about Jesus, I think it's Hebrews, isn't mm-hmm. it? It talks about Jesus being a new and better Adam.
Sure, and you've got Romans too, where death entered through Adam and Jesus,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah, yeah, just
Jesus
a sin
entered, yep.
yeah,
through
one man.
Man.
So salvation
yep.
enters through one man, yes.
Yep.
And so that's what Jesus does,
right.
is Jesus enables Jesus is the new leader.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is this new Adam,
mm-hmm.
And his people, Jesus doesn't fail where Adam did.
Mm-hmm.
And so this cycle of failure with human beings is broken mm-hmm. with the God-man,
yep.
the human being that is fully God. And this is where he starts to take his people in through adoption at this point.
And it's interesting that even in Jesus' time, Israel still had a flawed view of what Jesus was taking dominion over.
Yeah.
You know, that's just so interesting.
Yeah. And this is one of the points that I kind of take issue with the post-millennial mindset is
uh-huh.
because I think the post-millennialists are kind of making the same mistake that your first century Jews were.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't be first century.
Mm-hmm.
that they thought, oh, Jesus is going to come in and he's going to take political power and he's going to wipe out the Romans.
Right.
And that's not what he did.
Right. You know,
his kingdom was spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's, I won't go, that's another rabbit trail there.
Sure.
But that's
a good point.
Yeah, that's one of the issues that if I'm sitting talking with a post-millennialist, I would say, you know, I think you kind of need to answer this
sure.
part.
Yeah, I think that would be a valid one to bring up. So Jesus comes to execute perfectly what humans have failed over and over
yes.
to do.
And so this is where we get to, we get to the Great Commission.
We do. Can I add one little thing in?
Yes.
You
can add all the things
all
you want.
We're talking about how human leader after leader fail, and then here's Jesus. I think you see that perfectly in Hebrews 11 and 12. So you have the Hall of Faith here.
Yes.
And most of these men are mentioned in there. That's in 11 and 12 in Hebrews says, we have the cloud of witnesses, but then it says, put your eyes on Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of our faith.
Yes.
So even though these guys are in the Hall of Faith, it's not them, it's Jesus,
yeah.
you know, and so.
And those, I mean, basically what I just tried to do here was what Hebrews does.
Yeah.
And Hebrews does it better.
Better,
so.
Yeah.
As I have said before on this podcast, go read Hebrews,
it's
amazing.
Stay in there for a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like the Great Commission is, you know, Baptists have heard of it, haven't they?
Yes, yes.
There's talk of changing the Southern Baptist name to the Great Commission Church.
Baptist, and there's actually, there are churches, and they'll identify themselves. Instead of saying Southern Baptist, they'll say we're Great Commission Baptist.
Yeah, yeah. So. The Great Commission is fairly important to
it
Southern Baptists.
It is fairly important, say, so. Yes. Matthew 28, yeah. Very important.
And I would say, if you look at it, the Great Commission is the same charge that was given to Adam, basically,
mm-hmm.
To go out into the world and make it yours.
Make disciples of all nations. Yeah, absolutely.
And so this Great Commission, this is a charge that's given to Jesus first, and Jesus gives it to his mm-hmm. his disciples, his family. He gives it to the church. So now we're at where we are now. We're in the church age. And this Great Commission, this command to take dominion mm-hmm. is being enacted.
Right.
And this is where we kind of come back to Revelation
mm-hmm.
Because you know, we talked about you should give a lot of grace when you're talking about eschatology. It's
sure.
very complicated. Mm-hmm. It's very hard to stay consistent all the way through.
Right.
And I think almost everybody, they're going to get to some points and go, I don't know what this is. I don't know how to get this to fit. And, you know, I think most of this fits this way, but I can't
There's
answer
some
this
loose
question.
Pieces in there. Yeah.
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 And so we get back to what needs to be your mindset. And so one of them was you should not be rooting for the world to get worse.
Yeah.
We should be excited about the return of our Lord.
Mm-hmm.
But if you, if you see, families being killed in warfare over in Ukraine, and you're like, oh, goody, the world's getting terrible. That means Jesus is right around the corner.
Right. That's a flawed.
Yeah,
that's
flawed. Yeah, you should not be rooting for the world to get worse.
Mm-hmm.
I've also heard the eschatological mindset, don't polish brass on a sinking ship.
Mm-hmm.
And that's as, like you talked about, you don't build bomb shelters, you build bigger tables.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are shutting yourself off from the world,
mm-hmm.
That is, I would say, an erroneous eschatology.
Right.
You are not doing the charge that you have been given.
Mm-hmm.
And that you have, and by you I mean, so you and I and the church has mm-hmm. been given the Great Commission, which is the same commission as Adam, is to go and to make the world yours.
Right.
And we see that in Revelation then mm-hmm. too.
Right, yeah.
The results of that.
Yes, yeah, so why does eschatology matter? So that we will go out and win the world for Christ. Now, little question. To make the world ours, is it more appropriate to say to make it Christ? Like, should that be worded differently, you think?
I don't think so, because so you can, if you look at 8, it says, Romans 8.
you look at 8. Okay.
Yeah.
Sure, thanks, Brad.
Sorry, you guys probably can't read my mind on that. I'm pretty sure it's Romans 8, where it talks about us being co-heirs,
mm-hmm.
That Christ is the firstborn over many brothers.
Uh-huh.
I think I'm butchering those, I think. But we're co-heirs with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Christ is the leader of us, but what's ours is his,
sure.
and what's his is ours.
Sure.
that goes, our sin is his sin that he's taken. Yep. His righteousness is ours that he's given us. So when Christ takes dominion over the entire earth, this is a fulfillment of all of these covenants before. So it's a fulfillment of Adam's, or not covenant, excuse me, these commands. It's a fulfillment of Adam being told to subdue the earth, mm-hmm. And to fill it with offspring. Mm-hmm. So Christ, that's what Christ does. He takes command of the earth and he fills it with his spiritual offspring. Uh-huh. Abraham is said to become the father of many nations. He does that through Christ. He doesn't just take dominion over Canaan. Canaan is included in this because Christians take dominion over the whole world. Mm-hmm. David is supposed to set up a kingship that belongs to God and never ends. Mm-hmm. And Jesus is the one that fulfills that.
Yep.
And then when you get to Revelation, it talks about the Lamb on his throne and goes through this exhaustive list of everything throughout all creation bowing down and worshiping
everything,
him.
Absolutely everything.
Yeah.
And if you look, it starts with like the 24 elders, and it moves on to the thousands of angels, and then moves on to all the created order.
Yeah. And so you can see all the way through the Bible. It's all, when we say the Bible is Christocentric.
Mm-hmm. It is, yeah.
This is a perfect illustration of it. All of these are pointing to Christ.
And that's what Christocentric means. Everything is centered around Christ. From Genesis to Revelation, it's Christ.
Everything before Jesus points towards him, mm-hmm. and everything after Jesus points back to him.
Back to him. And Revelation's pointing towards him in a sense, too, as far as him coming back again.
Yes. The incarnation and the resurrection, I would say, is what it is pointing to.
That's the tenet of our faith, right? Like, so 1 Corinthians 15, if there's no resurrection, there's no Christianity.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it's just, yes, we're absolutely looking back.
So, if you want to know more about that, our podcast on the hypostatic union is good.
We had that one around Christmas time.
Yeah, that's a good one too. If you're like, I really love this podcast, and now I don't want to wait for another 2 weeks for the next one, go back and listen to the Bible again.
So we're in the Great Commission time.
Yeah.
And we are waiting for the consummation of everything, which is Revelation 21.
I would say not only are we waiting, we are working.
Oh, absolutely. That's a great, great point. We are working towards that today.
Yes.
And that's why we're not hunkering down.
Yeah.
We're out. We're winning.
Yes.
The world for Christ.
Yeah, that is what I am hoping to get across to our listeners, is that we are not to sit mildly by the window waiting for Jesus to come out of the sky. Right. We have been given work to do.
Right. And his return is imminent.
Yes.
Which should add another drastic urgency on our part.
Yes. Another issue I would take with post-millennialists at that point, but anyways, you look at the parables that Jesus used. Is it bridesmaids? Is that who don't have their oil? They get shut out because they didn't know when their master would return.
I want to say the word with virgin, but that might not be right.
I think it is virgins.
Okay, but yes, I know
they're basically like bridesmaids.
Yeah,
Multiple places throughout where it says Jesus can come back at any time,
right.
And you need to be about the work of your Lord.
Right.
I'm going to start calling it dragon theology. I think because if you're dragon eschatology, because if your eschatology leads you to hoard gold in your cave,
there you go. That's a good.
I would say that you are wrong.
Sure.
So yes, be about the work of your Lord. And so we're just about perfect because I was looking at our outline and I was like, ooh, all right. So we need to try to aim for like maybe 30 minutes for this first part. We're right about there.
Yeah, 33 minutes. Yeah. And six of it we wasted on introductions.
We're doing pretty good. It's because I reined in my rabbit trails. I mean, I love my rabbit trails.
And they're just so enticing, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so that's incredible. So so basically what we're trying to tell you is, if you listen to Revelation last week, and like Brad said here, you're wondering why it matters, we're hoping that this answers that in part for you, in a major way, that this affects how we as Christians operate, how as a church we operate every single day. So it's of the utmost importance.
Yeah, what should you be doing, and what should you be looking forward to?
So, all right, so let's get practical. So,
yes. How to gain dominion.
How do we gain dominion? And,
yes.
And this is, it's tough.
Yes.
Especially since we live in a very wicked world.
Yes.
I think I talked to you a little bit. So I have a 5-year-old and a 4-month-old. How old are your kids?
Mine are, one will be 6 here in just 2 weeks. Uh-huh. And then a 3-year-old and an 18-month-old.
All right. So you have 3 kids. I have 2.
Yes.
A thought that goes through my mind is, why in the world would I want to bring kids into this world?
Yes.
You know, that's a question that goes through mm-hmm. my mind as I'm looking at them and wondering what the future holds. Why bring them into this world? And yeah. that's not the proper Christian mindset.
Yeah.
It's one I struggle with.
Yeah.
That's not the right question to be asked.
Yeah, so I mean, it's an okay question to ask. I think the answer to it is neat. And I actually gave a sermon on this past Sunday. So you look at Adam, you look at Abraham, and you look at David, how is their dominion going to come about?
Through children.
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 Yes.
That's the avenue.
Yeah. And I think that remains true.
Yep.
Now there's 2 ways I think that you can be, that you make children. Mm-hmm. And it's the same 2 ways that you know, people were brought into the New Testament church. So you've got the Jews who were kind of had the birthright, mm-hmm. And then they you know, the tree of the covenant that's stayed faithful to Christ, mm-hmm. And then you've got the ones that are grafted in,
right?
And so we I think I'm mixing my metaphors here, so this may not be as good a metaphor as I eventually thought.
Hey, keep it going,
originally
man.
Thought it was going to be
doing but, solid.
You either make children by converting people and preaching and evangelizing and testifying,
yep.
Or you make them by having your children
procreation
and raising them up in fear of the Lord.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so really, when it comes down to it, when the temptation is, why in the world bring kids into this world, is as families, we're going to raise kids in Christ to change the world.
Yeah.
To be the difference makers.
Yeah, Proverbs talks about, you know, your children are arrows in your quiver.
Mm, they are, yep.
These are the bolts that you are going to be firing into the future.
Right, absolutely.
You know, these are the, when it talks about that the gates of hell will not prevail mm-hmm. over the church, mm-hmm. these are the weapons that we are using to take dominion over the world. Mm-hmm. I've talked about this in like sermons before too, is right now, if you look at like population statistics, mm-hmm. A lot of countries are fixing to not exist in 50 years. Mm-hmm. Japan, in order to maintain your population, the population has to be, I think it's a 2.2 or 2.3 children on average. Uh-huh. And I know Japan's one, Italy's one, that mm-hmm. they're way below that. Mm-hmm. I think it's like 1.5. And so what that means is, if unless something very drastically different happens, these countries aren't going to exist in 50 to 100 mm-hmm. years, because they're not going to have any people anymore. And so you look at, so the United States is kind of holding steady, but you look at the way the birth rate has decreased in the United States. Mm-hmm. And I think it corresponds with the importance of Christianity
sure.
in the United States as well. Mm-hmm. And the people that are still having lots of children are the ones that understand what a difference that makes in
sure,
the world.
Right, yeah, absolutely. And I can't remember, it might have been a discussion you had is that I had with you over lunch once, is how the Islam faith has advanced so much mm-hmm. through the procreation of so many kids,
yeah,
and then they're, you know, Muslims themselves, and it's spread, you know, it's just taken over. I mean, that's mm-hmm. they don't believe the right things, but they're doing what we need to be doing as Christians,
yeah,
you know. So procreation is important.
I would say not just having kids.
Right.
if you just have kids,
and
then you let somebody yep. else raise them.
Yep, that defeats the whole purpose.
Right. Yeah, you need to be instilling in them mm-hmm. The faith and values, and the framework that will enable them to actually go out and resist the world and to change it.
Absolutely. And don't families out there, fathers as you're leading, and families, don't expect church service on Wednesdays night and Sunday mornings to be the account for the discipleship they have. You know, I mean, we get your kids. I'm a youth pastor. I get your youth for 3 to 5 hours a week.
Yeah.
You have them the rest of the time. I mean, this starts at home.
Yeah. I saw a meme the other day that that said, you know, 1 hour of Sunday school isn't going to override 30 hours of TikTok.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, that's absolutely true.
Parents of children that are listening to this, and you know, grandparents, because you will still have a part in with your, you know, you can still affect your kids. Mm-hmm. You can will have a part in your grandkids as well.
Right.
It is one of the most important things you can do is give your children a firm foundation in the Christian faith. Mm-hmm. Know what it is. Know how to explain it. Know how to defend it.
Yep.
I will harp on this. I'm sure people are tired of hearing this from me, because I think every time you and Greg have me do anything in the church, I think I come up with this message of, you need to be consistent, you need to know how to defend it, and you need to know how to say it.
Right, yeah. And your kids are never too young.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, right away. I had a beautiful discussion with my son, my five-year-old, tonight before he went to bed of what it means to follow Christ. And he's not there yet.
Yeah.
But, you know, He knows.
We were talking about how both of our children have figured out that when they don't want to go to bed, the way to avoid that is to ask us spiritual questions.
Right? Yeah. Like I'll be getting out and he'll say, "Oh, Dad, I want to talk about Jesus."
Yeah.
Oh, you sneaky! Of course, I'm going to talk to you about Jesus.
Yeah.
I know what you're doing.
Yeah. Every time my daughter like asks a question, spiritual question, I get these pictures of the church victorious, like it's time to train my soldier. And and you know what? I stand by it. I'll let her stay up a little. If that's when she'll take in her
absolutely, man,
her spiritual learning, then I will let her stay.
Man, I will take a few less hours of sleep. That means
yes,
we've got soldiers battling on for Christ. So
yes,
this can lead to like as a doctor, I'd love both as a doctor and a Christian. There's birth control out there.
Sure.
You know, what are your thoughts on that? And what is the proper view? Should Christians never engage in that and just always be trying for kids? How do you balance all that? That's hard.
Yeah, that's a big question.
Thanks,
so,
man.
Yeah. I would not take the stance that all birth control is wrong and you should never do it.
Uh-huh.
So part of the, like, that would come in. So I feel like if you take that to its logical conclusion, anytime you are not knowing your spouse biblically, you know, abstinence is a form of birth control.
Right, sure.
And so...
the best kind.
Yeah. That you would be sinning. And so I don't think that is true.
Yeah.
Now, I think what you should... the way you should approach birth control is you approach it with this mindset of having children and taking dominion.
Mm-hmm.
If you are using birth control for your own selfishness, well, I won't make as much money if I have too many kids.
Right.
I won't be able to go on vacations that I want.
Less sleep.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be hard. It's going to be inconvenient. Mm-hmm. I think you're in bad territory there. And I think that is going to be difficult to justify when you're having to give an account before God.
Mm-hmm.
I think there are so you know, this is not even talking about legitimate medical reasons.
Right, right, yeah,
there, you know, dysmenorrhea, you know, things like that. There are medical reasons that you know, women will take birth control.
Right, right.
We're not getting into that.
Right,
That I would say is. You know, nothing wrong with that.
Right.
At
yeah.
All.
Yeah.
If you're taking birth control to prevent having children, I think you know this. I think you take the same mindset with birth control that you take with everything else. How do I best glorify God? Okay. How do I make the most? How do I take back the most ground for Him and make the most difference for Jesus? Mm-hmm. How do I multiply His talents the most?
Yeah.
You know, for me. the amount of time that I want to be able to pour into my children and work with them and train them and you know, bring them up and fear the Lord, you know, you hit a point where you're not able to do that as effectively.
Right, right, yeah.
And I, you know, maybe I will be wrong on this, but that if I had to stand before, you know, the Lord right now and try to justify, you know, why I've done what I've done, I would say I always kept your, I kept your kingdom in mind. Not always. That would be presumptuous.
Sure, right.
back to the blood of Jesus. Blood of Jesus. Yeah, that's the only thing I can say. Yeah.
It's your mind. We don't always execute or fulfill it, but yes, your mindset.
This was my goal. Yeah. Because, like I said, it's not good enough to just have children. Mm-hmm. You have to make disciples.
Sure, right. And you mentioned it, as it says in Proverbs, that they are quivers. You know, I mean, they're arrows in our quivers. You know, yeah. And I remember watching, especially like I kind of like war movies and kind of back in when they were fighting with swords and arrows. You know, and you would just see a flock of arrows just shooting out. You know, and decimating the whole army. I mean, the more children we have, the more children that we're raising godly, that's another arrow that we're firing.
Yeah, and the world knows this. They understand, you know, the world understands, and when I say the world, I mean the, you know, the fleshly world, the fallen sin and humanness that the church is fighting against and that hates the church so much. The world understands who controls the children controls the course of history.
Absolutely. Yep.
And so that is why you get these strong pushes in culture. Mm-hmm. And that's, you have to be very careful what you're letting, your kids watch.
Yep.
What you're letting your kids read, listen to music-wise.
Yep. Absolutely. 100%.
You know, it's going to, there will be things in places you wouldn't expect. You know, what is the mindset they're being taught in school? Mm-hmm. Are your children able to recognize when they are being taught something against the Christian faith and know how to defend it and say why it is wrong?
Right, absolutely.
Because it's often very sneaky and it's difficult when you're getting this constantly buried in it.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why we need solid footing at home, you know, to be able to say for Sam and Lila and these our kids to say that is wrong.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not going to be put like that. Or for my youth, I've got graduating seniors as they go to secular universities to say that is wrong.
Yeah. Secular universities are you need to be ready to defend your faith because I'm not sure there is anywhere that is better equipped to attack a Christian than a secular university. You're going to get the intellectual attacks, and you're also going to get the carnal attacks. Mm-hmm. You're going to see debauchery. You're going to see, kids who all of a sudden, at this time, maybe not kids, you can say adults at this point, but maybe that have had supervision their whole life, all of a sudden are out on their own. They don't have these restraints that they've had before.
Yep.
You can see the best in human nature, and you can see the worst in human nature.
Yeah,
in there.
Yeah, that's and we've talked before about my wife and I struggle on Sam. He's a kindergartner.
Yeah,
what do we do with school? You know, and how do we balance between not reclusing, but also it's just hard.
Yeah,
and so those are all things that you want to be praying about with your family and all those kind of things.
Yeah, I would we. School's a tough decision.
So hard.
Because like we talked about, your hour of church and your hour of a couple hours of youth group, that's not going to be enough. And so if you are sending your children somewhere else to be educated, is it going to be something that is going to help you in your endeavor of making them strong, capable Christians who are able to not just withstand the culture, but fight back against it and change it? Or is it going to be something that you're going to have to undo later? I think that's the question you ask. And, I go back to this a lot. So you're given these talents. You look to say, okay, these are my options. Which of these will be the best use of how can I best increase the talents? Where are my children going to be best able to do this?
Right.
And that answer may be different for different families, but right. I think that's the mindset you should go forward with.
It's a great mindset. And that's kind of where we're wrapping things up at, is that's our mindset. Is there anything else we...
The other way we were talking about dominion, we have this our last point here, was 1 Corinthians 12, mm-hmm. Where it talks about your spiritual gifts.
Yes. Right.
So that is the other way. So, children are a big part of this. You can see that all the way through all the commands. But what should you specifically be doing? Mm-hmm. And this is, I think we talked about, this is going to be a whole other podcast sometime.
On spiritual gifts.
Yes.
Yes.
Because there's a lot going on this one. But in a nutshell, every Christian is given spiritual gifts. Mm-hmm. You are given a specific place to work within the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. And so, it talks about some are ears, some are feet. You shouldn't use this as an excuse to avoid work. So if somebody says, you have somebody that come up to you and say, hey, I think I've heard you're a Christian. Can you tell me about Jesus? You can't say, my gift isn't evangelism.
Sure.
You need to be ready to do that.
Right.
But I would say that, Jesus is going to, and the Spirit are going to specifically equip you to do specific work. The Bible kind of lists this out a little bit. You've got teachers, you've got overseers, you've got hospitality, mm-hmm. You've got stewardship, different things like that. I'm not, like I said, I'm not going to go all the way into that.
Right.
But that is an important part of your, I think that will, it's an important part of your Christian faith, and it will help you to be the most effective mm-hmm. if you work to identify what your spiritual gifts are. Where are you best suited to serve the kingdom of God, and then go and work towards that?
Yep. That's great. And this dominion is kind of cool that the body is involved, whether it's the body of a woman's womb, procreating, or the body of Christ, the church. The body is made for taking dominion over this earth.
Yes, and that's a very Christian mindset. And so the... if you know anything about the Gnostics, Gnostics were probably one of the greatest foes of the Christian church ever, and continue to be, because
they've been there since the beginning.
Yeah, and there is still very strong Gnostic thought in lots of different modern philosophy, too. Mm-hmm. But, one of the ways you recognize Gnosticism is that material things are evil,
bad,
and
right.
spiritual things immaterial is mm-hmm. good.
Right.
That is not Christianity.
Hmm.
So I've seen bumper stickers before that say, you're not a body with a soul, you're a soul with a body.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a Christian idea.
Mm-hmm.
That's Gnosticism. Mm-hmm. You are a soul and a body, and the two are intertwined together.
Mm-hmm.
The same way Jesus is humanness and... maybe not the same way.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
There. Yes.
Yeah. Jesus is humanness and
godness. We have a concept. Yeah. A similar concept.
Yeah.
Yes.
You can't separate the two.
Right.
And in the new heavens and the new earth, when that we're talking about, and when you have that final dominion in Revelation, you're going to have a physical body.
A good looking one, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It could look like Tyler.
Hey. Yeah. Minus 20 pounds. Yeah. But it's exciting, for those things.
So if you are listening to this and you're thinking, all right, I'm excited. I don't have any kids yet. I want to do that when I get kids, but what do I do now? Mm-hmm. Look to your spiritual gifts. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming that most of our listeners are people that are going to our church.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm sure Pastor Tyler, Pastor Greg would be very happy to talk with you about helping you to figure out what your spiritual gifts are.
Sure.
And how you go about doing that in the church.
Yeah.
And I will say that I think that you will know that you are doing God's work when you feel very happy and fulfilled and also a little terrified.
Sure. Yeah.
You should kind of feel like, oh, I'm this is where I'm supposed to be, mm-hmm. but also I can't possibly do this. This is too much.
Right.
I think when you're having both those feelings, that's a good sign that you're in the right place.
Absolutely. And the Holy Spirit's gonna be there to enable you. I feel a little byproduct, I don't know, a little move to say that when we're talking about procreation, we're talking about in the beautiful context of marriage.
Yeah.
You know, it.
Oh,
it,
yeah.
You know, it's. I'm just saying it's not.
Yes.
Don't, if you're not married and you go out procreating and thinking that's the.
Yes.
That's not what's intended here.
Yes. This is the procreation throughout the Bible is specifically commanded to be within the bounds of one man, one woman, holy matrimony. You look at what happened, with, and that's one of the ways David went wrong. That's where Abraham went wrong. Whenever any...
Most of these guys went wrong.
Yeah, you'll hear people that say like, oh, well, you know, they had multiple wives in the Bible, so that's okay for me.
Yep.
And I don't know why my... I don't know why my guy was a 1950s like radio announcer, but if you look at every time somebody goes outside those bounds in the Bible, it ends in disaster.
Yeah, and those accounts are historical narrative accounts.
Yeah.
They're not permissive accounts.
Yes.
You know, it's not, we're not getting permission just because they did that. It's not giving us permission.
Right.
You know, but anyways, so I just, I don't know. I think that needs to be
yes,
important.
Yes, no, that's a good, that's a, yeah. If any of you were, did not realize that, I'm very glad he added that in.
So, but it just, man, like, so my sons are named Scout and Sam and Scout. I want them hand in hand with me storming the gates of hell.
Yes.
You know, I want my wife. All, you know, I just, it's almost like a picture of all four of us. And,
yeah.
And our family will grow, you know, if God should allow that, but just as a family, storming the gates of hell. I can kind of picture a family, Lincoln
yes,
Arden,
yeah,
storming
exactly.
the gates of hell.
I love, listeners, if you've never read The Screwtape Letters by
C.S.
Lewis, go read it. I read it like once a year. I love this book. I think it's one of the... it's one of the easiest to access. It's not hard to understand. It's one of the most helpful Christian books ever written, I feel like. And so if you've never read the Screwtape Letters, what it is this upper demon talking to this lower demon and trying to help him, give him pointers on how to tempt and destroy this Christian that he's assigned to.
Right.
And in one spot in there, he talks about the church. And he says, now... when he hears the church, he's going to think of this building and he's going to think of these people. They don't see the church like we do. This terrible crowd with banners and swords and trumpets spread throughout all eternity, marching relentlessly on.
Mm-hmm.
And it talks about how much the demons hate this idea that this church, this idea of the church is terrifying to them.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I always picture. And I know 100% what you're talking about. Where
it just gets you going, man.
Yeah. I've heard from people that talk about that their goal is to... when they're in heaven, to look back and be able to see their spiritual lineage, where, you know, whether by people they converted or, you know, children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, that they would have a spiritual lineage 10,000 strong.
That's crazy. That's awesome.
Yeah, what a...
Gets you chills, doesn't it?
Yeah. We went to... I think this is such a neat story. We went to this... I think it was shortly after me and Emily were married. We went up to... I think it was her grandfather's birthday.
Mm-hmm.
He's older. They had three kids, and then those kids had each had one had four, one had I think I believe it's six, and then the other had I think it's three kids. And it was so neat to see her grandfather sitting at the celebration of his life. And you know, her whole family is just strong Christians all the way through. And
to, beautiful.
Yeah, and to see the their children and the grandchildren, and what a spiritual lineage this man is going to have when he, when he's sitting there in heaven.
Right. Absolutely.
I remember seeing that and saying that is what I want.
And when he's going through the refining fires, that's not going to be burned up.
Yeah.
You know, that stands through all the way through.
Yes. What a use of your talents and what a thing to offer Christ when he comes back and
say,
this is what I did with the talents you gave me.
Man, that's good stuff.
Yeah.
This is good stuff, guys.
I'm tearing up now.
it is. It's just, your eyes are watering over.
Yeah,
man.
It's
just, I mean, it just shows how important this is, how passionate we need to be about it. And
yeah.
It's just incredible. And which also means the world's not too far gone.
No, not at all.
You know, the world's not lost. And we know the world's not lost because... I mean, Christ is coming back.
Yeah.
You know, this isn't a lost cause.
That is the great thing about being a Christian, is that you are given work to do and you know it succeeds.
You know it,
You cannot fail.
Mm-hmm.
So get out there and you be about the work of your Lord and take back the world for Jesus. Take it.
Bam. That's awesome. Yeah. All right. We're leaving the huddle. We're going out, man.
Yeah.
And women, this is it. So.
For Narnia!
Narnia, yes.
Yeah. That's always because, you know, you can pick the movie that where they yell something.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I like the, and that's for my old gaffer from Lord of the Rings.
There's always something that they're going to battle for something, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the word Christ. So
yeah.
We're going for Christ and his kingdom.
Yep.
So, man, this has been a good one. I hope this one blesses you. If you have questions, let us know. But why does our eschatology and Revelation matter? It's because of this. So.
Yes. So, listeners, we love you.
Yep.
Thanks for listening. Be about the work of your Lord.
Be about the work of the Lord. Yep. That's our challenge for you. So we're praying for you. We'll be back in 2 weeks.
See you next time.
Okay. Blessings, guys.
On behalf of First Southern Baptist Church Salina, thank you so much for listening to our podcast today. If you have any questions, if you have any prayer requests, or you want to know more about the gospel of Jesus Christ, we would love to have you contact us. You can email me at tball@fsbcsalina.com. And if you don't have a church home, we would love for you to join us on Sunday mornings. Our Sunday school is at 9 a.m. and our worship service is at 10:30 a.m. If you want to know more about the church, you can visit us at our website at www.fsbcsalina.com. Again, thanks for joining us today, where we desire to know Christ and to make him known. Blessings.